fellow baseball and fantasy baseball nuts. Big warm welcome to the best seat in the house, if fantasy baseball is your thing, behind home plate. My name's Johnny Gould, lovely to have your company, and as always, joined by my good friend and fantasy baseball legend, James Holden. Jimbo, you probably noticed the stress I put on the word baseball and fantasy baseball. I got very frisky and said fantasy twice last week. Will Thomas very kindly pointed it out.
You did. I was glad to know some people are listening, though, to be honest. So, yeah, all good.
Yes, my apologies to anybody out there that was emotionally traumatised by the suggestion. Yes, it is baseball and fantasy baseball nuts. I basically got my nuts in a twist, Jimbo. That's the only way to...
I think the less we cover that, the better. But last week we had quite a lot of comments, didn't we, JG? So I'm slightly surprised. You know, you caused quite a furore with your rant about the Giants and the strength of their schedule.
I merely offered a view, and I think it's important to stress, I'm a massive Giants fan. They are one of the teams that I've always had a soft spot for. I was merely offering the view that baseball needs to do more to ensure the schedules are even, because at the moment, there's no doubt that the Giants' strong start has been helped. I'm not saying it's solely the result of, has been helped, as the Braves have not been helped, by the complete difference in their schedule. One team's playing nothing but great size, the other one's playing a lot of the lesser size. And to me, that doesn't seem fair. I understand you've got to play your teams in your own division. No problem with that at all. But you need to even it out in terms of there needs to be a seeding. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not having a go at the Giants, but I'm very glad to hear that it did cause a lot of debate.
It did elicit quite a few comments, but which is great. And actually, there were two, to me, certainly large surprises on the back of it. Firstly, the Giants did not go into free fall on the back of a Johnny Gould jinx.
Yes.
And in fact, they're still top of the National League West. But also, most people who got in touch agreed with you.
And that's the biggest shock of all, because as you will know, Jimbo, that is a real rarity in the world of baseball. So I'm very grateful. I obviously got my brothers and my cousins, and they all emailed in. That's fantastic. And actually, the best news of all is, as a result of the Giants being very much a topic of conversation, we have got, as our guest today, Ben Salvi from UK San Francisco Giants podcast, Splash Hits. And Ben's going to be joining us later on in the show to give us a real insight into the Giants, to prove that I love the Giants. There is no animosity being generated by JG towards the San Francisco Giants. But other than that, we want everyone else to get in touch about anything, whether it be a rant by me or comments by Jimbo. Email us on behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, or if you want to get in touch with us via Twitter, we have our own show Twitter handle @BHPpod, or of course you can contact us directly. We're only too happy to deal with your own personal tweets, and that is me on @JohnnyMGould or Jimbo on @Jam99. That's the contact details. Now,
excellent. Very good. Well, what have we got tonight then?
Loads and loads, buddy. And it's a packed show. And that doesn't even start to consider the fact that we've got Ben on the show as well. So we're going to kick off with Rookie Nookie in honour of my getting my nuts in a twist. We've got Rookie Nookie. Thought we'd have a look at how some of the youngsters are doing in their first season of Major League Baseball, seeing if they're helping our MLB teams or indeed our fantasy baseball teams or hindering them. And second up, of course, we've got the in-depth conversation about the San Francisco Giants with young Ben from Splash Hits. Great podcast. Do check it out. And as always, we're going to be doing the suitcase, some key pickouts of the week. That's courtesy of Jimbo, and fingers crossed, another Hail Mary or two. So, as you can see, Jim, loads and loads. So let's kick things off in our usual style. We're starting with Rookie Nookie, players in their very first year of baseball who are rookie eligible. And we've basically been spoiled, Jimbo, in recent years. And look at some of the names that came in and absolutely tearing it up right from the word go. Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis, Juan Soto, not so much this season. He says with a pained expression, Juan Soto, $71. Anyway, that's another story. Arguably, though, we know the three best baseball hitters right now, and they've only been in the major leagues, 3 years. But those are not the norm, to have rookies come in and just tear it up almost as easy. Far more misses than hits is the norm, isn't it? And so last week I wanted to ask you about what many people think is the most anticipated call-up of this season, and that's Jared Kelenic of the Mariners, who kicked it off with a monster home run. Certainly looks like he started hot. So there's loads of rookie action to consider for this season. What are your thoughts? Are we going to be spoilt again, as we have been in recent years?
I think it'd be hard to push to come up with names quite as big as Acuna, Tatis and Soto. We've had sort of Pete Alonso and people like that as well in recent years. But I think Kelenic will be a really good one. So I will touch on him. But I think if I had to pick out some names of players who've really started strong, there's one name above all, certainly in terms of hitters. And that is, of course, Jazz Chisholm, the Miami second baseman. Already 4 home runs, 8 stolen bases. And he's been on the injured list for several weeks of that. So, I mean, fantastic start for Jazz Chisholm.
And sorry to interrupt, but this is something you may not know. Do you know his full name, his real name?
What, Jazz is not his real name, Johnny.
Surprise, it is not, mate. No, it's actually Jazzrado, which is where the jazz comes from. But that's just the beginning, buddy. Jazzrado Prince Hermes Arrington Chisholm Jr. If there was ever a name born to greatness, that was it. I absolutely love it. And thanks to Joe Pisapia on the Fantasy Pros who mentioned this the other day, which is the only reason we even knew it. But absolutely fantastic. I had to get a mention.
I love that. That really underlines his kind of sartorial style, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
You can only dress like Jazz Chisholm does if that is your real name. So yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
And, I can offer you something similar to that. In the world of rugby, a man I've worked for many, many years, an absolute legend of rugby, is Lawrence Dallaglio. His middle name, Bruno Nero. Again, you just know. I mean, can you imagine this person ending up sort of working at McDonald's? It's just isn't
going to happen. He's got leadership coming out of his core, hasn't he?
Exactly.
You know, kind of, I will lead those Lions. My middle name is Bruno Nero.
Well, and I was chatting about names with my son only the other day. He's only 18, but we're already talking about how many children he's going to have. And he's already told me his first son's going to be called Thor. So he's obviously, he's aspiring towards great as well. I'm absolutely mortified personally, but hopefully he's only 18. Things might change.
It's good. Right, go on, let's give you a couple more. So talk about hitters. Just isn't doing great. Other ones who I think, you know, started really well. Dylan Carlson, we talked about him before the season already, 24 runs. He's now up to second in the batting order. And I think everything that St. Louis fans had hoped for. Randy Arozarena, again, we talked about him before. So he's delivering a solid top 100 season. 4 home runs, 4 stolen bases, plenty of runs, RBIs. But it's not a top 50 season. And I think from a fantasy perspective, that's the thing. You know, there's no value. There's no additional value. But certainly you haven't missed out by having Randy on your team. A really interesting Andrew Vaughn, first baseman outfield of Chicago White Sox. I think he's the interesting one. He's just starting to warm up now. I think by the end of the season, we'll absolutely be talking about Andrew Vaughn in Rookie of the Year conversation. So that's that. And I think kind of, will we be talking about Kelenic that you just talked about? I think definitely. I think he really is going to hit, and he should be a top 30 player, you know, going forward next season. So those are the big ones so far.
And I've been watching some of the footage as well. Andrew Vaughan's home run and Kelenic's home. I mean, beautiful swings. My Lord. These boys, you know, not only just technically look sound, but by Jove, they don't half hit the ball. Now, talking top prospects, though, will we be talking about Wander Franco in the same breath of the likes of Kelenic, etc.?
Well, arguably, there's many people who think he's got a higher ceiling than Kelenic. Completely. I mean, this season, I don't think so. I think Franco won't be up till definitely after the All-Star break and potentially not even to September. So there could be some, games played by Tampa. Equally, he's an absolutely superb hitter. So I'd love to see him in the majors. I think he will absolutely be brilliant. He could be a perennial top 25 player for the next 10 years.
Okay. Now, one name that you do seem to have ignored, and I don't know if that's deliberate, the Yerminator, the consumer of one, not one, but two hamburgers before he goes out and hits a home run. The man's got a hamburger named after him, for God's sake.
You love him. It's like you love Dakil Badu, you love the Yerminator. And my advice is that he's been a fantastic story. If you have him, sell high. Just get anything you can. He will not be in the running for the Rookie of the Year conversation, or I will be astounded.
What? So the Yerminator, Mercedes, less Mercedes, more what? Nissan Micra? Is that what you're saying? Surely not. Have you seen the size of him? He hits that ball an absolute proverbial mile.
He does. Right. Go on. Do you want some pictures then? Because otherwise we're going to...
Go on then.
Give me
some pictures.
So I do want to go on to the Giants. So yeah, the pictures are small. I mean, it's a big three for me. Number one, Trevor Rogers.
Yes!
He's been absolutely sensational for Miami. I know you love him. And for me, he and Jazz Chisholm are leading the Rookie of the Year rankings so far.
Well, let me give Trevor Rogers his stats for you, Jimbo. And as we both know, I've got him in not one, but two of my teams. I absolutely love him in a season that's not proving particularly successful. 44 innings pitched, 57 Ks, 5 wins, 1.84 ERA, 107 whip. Can you ask anything more from an ace, let alone a youngster?
No, he's been absolutely amazing. I have nothing further to add. I think he's been brilliant. I'm glad you have him everywhere. I'm glad we talked about him. I have him nowhere. So let's move on to a man I do have in many leagues, Huascar Ulloa of Atlanta. His stats almost as good. I don't think he's got quite the same ceiling, but we've had a fantastic season out of him so far. Again, 50 Ks, 4 wins, an ERA of 3, and all the things we know. So totally unexpected, and that's what's made it so brilliant.
And I have to say, I've got him in 3 of my 5 teams, and I'm absolutely gutted. I've real mixed emotions here because he's completely delivered. He's had a couple of washouts, but he has delivered. But my Jove, what an absolute plonker he is. After his last outing, as we both know, didn't have a good one, got shelled a bit, goes into the dugout and punches the bench in frustration. What's he done? He's broken his hand. He's out for what? Are they saying at least 2 months?
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, I'm sure the emotions are strong, but incredibly frustrating, particularly for our fantasy teams, which is obviously his main concern rather than his long-term career.
Maybe, but I would also point out he was your Hail Mary pick in week 2, which was inspired, if you don't mind me saying it.
No, I don't mind. You can say that as many times as you like, because there'll be many Hail Mary picks that aren't that good. But yeah, it is interesting. We picked him up when he was, yes, rostered in less than 1% of leagues. And yeah, look how far he's come. So yeah, good on.
Interesting, Jimbo. You've talked about quite a few rookie hitters, but you've only mentioned 2 rookie pitchers. Do you think it's easier to establish yourself and be successful right from the off as a hitter rather than as a pitcher?
It would seem so. Certainly the rate of transition seems much easier, and quite a few, you know, just talking about, you know, it wasn't a, you know, a ballyhooed prospect or anything like that. So he has been a shock. I mean, the other person we should mention very briefly is Michael Kopech of the White Sox, who is transitioning from relief into starting pitcher. And I think he will be phenomenal and is a highly regarded pitcher, but others are struggling. But you know, people like Daniel Lynch have come up, Logan Gilbert have come up, both very highly regarded. They have struggled. I think Gilbert will settle down and be okay this season. But yeah, for fantasy, I definitely recommend, you know, spend your free agent budget or your fab budget at the weekend on rookie hitters spend it on rookie hitters, not on rookie pitchers, because your success rate is far, far higher amongst rookie hitters. Yes.
Great stuff. Okay, mate. Well, let's move on to the second section of the show. We're going to focus on the San Francisco Giants. Well, for this section, it's a great pleasure to be joined by Ben Salvi, one of the hosts of UK's leading San Francisco Giants podcast, Splash Hits. Now, Ben, I love that name. Tell us more. How did the whole thing start? Because you're not the only one involved, is that right?
Hi. No, there's 4 of us. Myself, Dave, Ash and Charlie.
Is that my old mate, Charlie Baldwin, by any chance?
That is.
Fantastic.
He's great on the show. He knows all the stats. He knows all the prospects. You couldn't find a bigger Giants fan. And we restarted up on this. We tried to do it last year, but properly started again the podcast this year. Yeah. And we've chosen a good time to talk about Giants baseball.
Haven't you just? And why the Giants? I mean, obviously all 4 of you are massive Giants fans. So why did you choose the Giants?
All different reasons between the 4 of us. Me personally, I was in San Francisco in August 2010. Just on a family holiday or vacation, as they call it over there. Me and my family wanted to go to Alcatraz one day and turned up and they said, no chance, got a 2-month waiting list. We looked around, what was there to do? There was a ball game on, we went, the Giants beat the Cubs. Ironically, Pat Burrell, a splash hit. And it was one of the reasons when we was thinking of names, splash hits, and the other guys liked it. And the Giants, you hit the ball into the bay, it's famous. You hit the home run there. It's a splash hit. And I've been
I love that. Pat the bat, hit a splash hit. So it's McCovey Cove, isn't it? Just over the bat.
McCovey. Yeah, so he hit a splash hit on that day. And Pablo Sandoval hit a grand slam in 1 of 2 home runs that he hit. And if they would have lost, maybe I would have been a Cubs fan. But I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, you look back. But it is one of the most beautiful stadiums. I mean, I haven't been to that many of the stadiums, but I have been to see the Giants. And just that view on a sunny day when you're looking out across the sea, it's just a fantastic place to watch baseball.
It's amazing. I remember when we got there and the lady on the ticket office asked us where we wanted to sit. Obviously, it depends on the price and where you are. And she said, if you sit up high, she called it a seat with a view. And we all sort of laughed at her, thinking view high, view down. But it, no, it literally is a seat with a view. Even if you don't look at the baseball field, it's stunning.
And was it, Mark Twain that said that the coldest winter he'd ever experienced was a summer in San Francisco? Because it is cold. Having been to that stadium, I think I've been three times, and I agree with you 100%. It's a wonderful place to go and watch baseball. But by Jove, it is cold. It doesn't matter what time of year.
It is cold, but not as cold as when I visited Yankee Stadium on the day after opening day 2012, watching Yankees Red Sox. And it was like an evening game, and it was chilly in New York.
Yeah, but that was just their attitude, mate. That had nothing to do with the weather.
Yeah. Right, go on. Let's go on to the Giants a bit. So this season, it's brilliant. We'd love to have had you on anyway, but particularly in the light of Johnny lighting up social media with his comments last year. So just how good are the Giants really? You're top of the NL West. Is it Nick Stock World Series, or is this going to be all over by the All-Star break?
I don't think we're going to win the NL West, but I do think we probably can finish above the Padres, maybe not the Dodgers. The Giants, most people probably had us as a below 500 team at the start of the year. And I think most Giants fans thought we were better than that, to at least be 500. We are at the moment, I think it's 24-12. We've got a great record at the moment.
And what's been the difference then this season? I mean, Johnny talks about an easy schedule. Okay, you think it's really been about the team then rather than the schedule?
Partly the schedule. We haven't played the Dodgers yet, but we have played three series against the Padres, and I think we're 500 against them. So it's partly the schedule's helped us, but definitely the pitching has just been fantastic. I know pitchers have been dominating throughout the whole of baseball this year, but our five starting pitchers, Cueto, DeSclafani, Alex Wood, even Logan Webb, they've just been lights out. Literally, I think only one game so far we've been blown out, and that was against the Padres.
To put that into perspective, guys, from a pitching perspective, runs actually conceded 143 so far this season. Only the Padres have a better record. I'm ignoring the Mets because they've played far less games than you. But that's how good it's been in the National League. 143 runs conceded. That's better than the Dodgers. That's better than teams that are meant to be competitive. The Brewers, St. Louis, all of whom have got supposedly good rotations. 177 for Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, what is it about the pitching in San Francisco? Certainly in recent years, there must be something in the water.
Well, we've had good pitching. We've always tried to have good pitching. I remember when I first started watching Lincecum, Kane, Bumgardner, Vogelson. We've always had a steady, maybe because of the ballpark and it's a pitcher's park. Maybe it's always leaning themselves the pitchers to sign there. But definitely since Farhan Zaidi's come in, one thing we've seen is he's found these pitchers who are undervalued, had a bad down year, and he's got them pitching, at the height they've ever pitched. Look at Kevin Gausman, who's our ace before we signed him. He wasn't someone you'd think of as a top 20 pitcher.
No, we had him at the Braves, and he definitely wasn't a top 20 pitcher for us a couple of years ago.
And ironically, now at the Braves, you've got Drew Smyly, who for us last year, Farhan turned into a fantastic pitcher. He got hurt a little bit, but when he did pitch in those few games, he was great. And that's why you signed him. And now he's left, he's not doing as well.
No, and only £11 million later, we find out he's not there. But you just wait till the suitcase. That's all I'm saying. But yeah.
But he is a good pitcher from what I saw of him last year. I think he'll turn it around.
Well, Ben, I know Jim wants to talk a little bit later about young hitters coming through. Before we do, I'm obviously the old man of this podcast. I want to talk about the veterans. I can't believe how well your veteran hitters are doing. Buster Posey seems to be able to stay healthy for the first time in about 30 years. Brandon Belt, even Longoria. I mean, how old is even Longoria? He's got to be at least in his 40s. Brandon Crawford, all having fantastic seasons and all staying relatively healthy. There must be something in the water in San Francisco.
Yeah, and they're also not just hitting for average, they're hitting for power. Posey's got 8 home runs, Belt's got 8 home runs, Crawford's got 9 home runs. And Posey and Crawford, especially, have never been power hitters, even when Posey was an MVP. He wasn't, a 30 home run guy.
Yeah.
I've ironically, when in my fantasy league, when someone drafted Posey, I sort of laughed to myself, thinking, you don't want him you want him for his glove, and that's not going to get you fantasy points. And I was wrong. He's been absolutely amazing.
I tell you, if anybody had offered you Gary Sheffield or Buster Posey, I think most would have taken the former. And I tell you what, you're absolutely right. Would have been a bad decision. Sorry, Jimbo, you were going to say.
No. It's interesting, isn't it? Well, we'll come on to kind of Giants and fantasy in a minute. But you mentioned Farhan Zaidi a few minutes ago. You know, who is the general manager of the general manager? That's his job title, isn't it? The Giants. They all have slightly different ones.
Scott Harris is the GM, and Zaidi is the head of baseball operations.
Okay, baseball operations. But he's the man really running the show, isn't he? In terms of the hires and the fires. You know, that was perceived to be quite a difficult job when he took it over. The Giants had a lot of players on enormous contracts that weren't very movable. They didn't really have much of a farm system. And they didn't have much hope, really, in the next 5 years, particularly with the Dodgers being so strong. So what has Zaidi done to turn around the fortunes of the Giants so quickly?
He seems to find gems out of nowhere, people that just seem to contribute. You know, Mike Yastrzemski, we've got Maurizio Dubon, who's a great defensive player. Donovan Solano, he's injured at the moment, but he almost led the league in batting last year and was picked as an all-star, even though there was no all-star game. And I think he got a batting title last year at second base. He seems to find these guys who no one's ever heard of or had disregarded. And, you know, look, we've just traded for Mike Tauchman from the Yankees. Now, he was an under-the-radar kind of guy. Now, he's had an okay start, but give it 6 months. I wouldn't be surprised if he's once again overperforming, or if he's not, one thing Zaidi does do is he cuts people. He's very ruthless. It's a conveyor belt at San Francisco. Just look at our bullpen, and you can be forgiven for being the most die-hard Giants fan and not knowing half those names, because they are in and they are out if they don't perform.
There's a lesson there for all of us. So, John, let's say John has talked about the vets. Just a quick word on the youth, because quite a few people who listen are either kind of interested in farm systems or possibly playing a dynasty league. And San Francisco have got some incredible talent, haven't they? You know, just a couple of Marco Luciano, Luis Matos are two names that I'm really trying to target if anybody's giving them up. But yeah, just give us a little flavour of where you are at the moment and how many years away you are, and who are the real talents coming through.
Well, those two you've mentioned are two to be very excited about. Luciano is someone who's probably top 10 prospect in all of baseball soon. But I wouldn't expect to see them until maybe 2023, from what I've heard. This year, we could possibly see Joey Bart, the catcher, come up, but maybe not the way Posey's hitting. They might keep him down there for another year. And then in the outfield, we've got Heliot Ramos. I think I might pronounce that wrong. It might be Elliot. I think it might be a silent H there, who I think he's in the top 80 prospects in baseball. And he's someone who was a first-round pick from the old regime, from before Farhan. And he had a lot of prospect hype about him, but he went quiet for a bit. But in spring, he was fantastic. And he's in Double-A at the moment, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see him.
He started off really strongly the first couple of weeks of the minor league season as well, hasn't he, Ramos?
Yeah. So. Yeah, he's the one who I think would be probably expected for next year. But the way he's playing, it wouldn't be surprised if we see him this year, especially if the Giants continue to stay hot.
Fine. So just say, you know, they start coming through. So Heliot Ramos comes through. Marco Luciano comes through. He's a shortstop prospect who I think will be amazing and an all-star and brilliant. Luis Matos comes through. There's a bit of young pitching. When will the Giants really be like what we call a heavyweight contender again? When are you really a perennial playoff contender and looking to win the whole thing?
What you mean we're not now? Because we're first place.
Good point, Ben. Excellent. Second best record in the whole of Major League. Well said, sir.
Providing it doesn't go right now, then we're probably looking maybe 2023, I think. That's when Luciano's probably going to be up. And then that's when I'd expect them to spend big to build around him. We've got so many hitting prospects. I think they're going to have to find someone. Maybe they find Gausman to a 3 or 4 year deal and pick some guys up along the way on the free agency or trade market for starting pitching, because I think Seth Corey is probably our top pitching prospect, and he's probably 2023 once again. So providing they are willing to spend, which they should be, because there's a lot of money coming off the books this year and next on the pitching, then I think 2023. I would think it'd be a shame if it's any later than that, because then you're maybe losing some of Ramos's and Bart's early great years.
Ben, I've got to be honest with you. 2023 is no good to me. All right. I'm a fantasy baseball player this year. Five teams, all struggling. I need some gems now. Who is going to be flying under the radar that I might be in a position to pick up towards, say, the middle of this season that could have and make a difference?
Well, he's not had the greatest start so far, and he's on the roster at the moment. But there's two people that come to bring to mind. One is Austin Slater.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's got all the five tools.
Yeah.
And he just tends, at the moment, he just tends to do one at a time. He just, when he puts, if he can put it together, if you can pick someone like him up, then he might be able to.
Ben, I did pick him up. I picked him up when you were in Colorado and they didn't bloody play him. Excuse my language.
He's had a slow start.
He's been in a suitcase this season. He's been in the suitcase last season. I love Austin Slater. I don't understand why it hasn't happened, as you say. He's got all the time, but they only seem to play him against lefties.
Well, yeah, that's, they do a lot of rotation at the Giants, so it's not great for fantasy. But he is someone that I hyped up massively on our podcast and sort of stuck with it. And now they've got the leader of the Austin Slater fan club. In terms of pitching, it's a tough one because I don't know if there's anybody. You know, we've promoted Camilo Duval, a relief pitcher, and he was tipped to be maybe a future closer, but he's had some struggles. I think if you're looking for prospects that are going to help you this year, I think you've got to look at Ramos. None of the pitching ones are, and if you're in leagues that are going to take you past this year, then Seth Corey is a pitching prospect, but in terms of hitting, look at Ramos and Luciano and Matos.
Okay. I'm just writing that down. Finally, before we move on from the San Francisco Giants, great stuff, by the way, very informative. The big question that has to be asked, one, let's establish once and for all, I do not hate the Giants. I love the Giants, got a big soft spot for them, in case that needs to be clarified amongst all our listeners. But secondly, the big question for you, how much do you hate the Dodgers?
I never liked them, but I hate the fact that they're just so good, if anything else. Even if I wasn't a Giants fan.
But do you not think they're so good? But in fairness, Ben, do you not think the Dodgers being so good and being the target is actually making you a better ball club? Because you know you've got to perform at the highest level to compete with a team that good, let alone the Padres.
I do. And the fact that over the last 3 or 4 years, if you look at our records and their records, we've actually competed against them quite well. I think we're just under 500. When you look at how good they've been and how bad we've been, you'd think they win 7 of every 10. So the Giants do seem to get themselves up for those games. And so if they're able to do that again, like they did against the Padres, who I don't think are as good as everybody says they are. They're still amazing, but I just don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're in the same league as the Dodgers, really, and people are talking them to be. Then I think the Giants could, you know, could challenge them for well into the season. Well, and they've had a lot of injuries, the Dodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. But they can afford it. They've got the depth.
They can.
Fantastic. So, and I have to say, we wish the Giants all the best for the rest of the season. We're loving what they're doing.
Thank you.
Everybody talked about that being a two-horse race. Not anymore, it isn't. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Right, we're going to move on to Section 3, which is the suitcase. Hopefully, Ben, you're familiar with this concept. Basically, this is where I demand from Jimbo, he has to come up with players that are rostered in less than 20% on average ESPN leagues, fantasy baseball leagues. And Jimbo, you've had a lot of success so far. The only problem is some of the ones you mentioned last week are already rostered in more than 20%, so they're not available anymore. So who have you got for me this week, Jimbo?
Lots of good. Well, the good news, Ben has also kindly agreed to bring a couple of items for the suitcase. So Ben's bringing a hitter and a pitcher. So Ben, do you want to give us your hitter, and then I'll fill up the rest of the hitters after that?
Yeah, so the catcher for your Atlanta Braves, Contreras.
Yes!
And I actually took him in my league last week.
So did I, mate. We're in good company.
And me too. So we've all got him.
No one else has got him.
I don't tend to take two catchers normally, but I've got him and Yadier Molina at the moment. So I'll stick with whoever does well the next couple of weeks and change from there maybe. But yeah, 4 runs and 2 home runs, I think it was in the last week. He's the pick there.
Yeah, happy days, happy days. Go on, I'll give you a couple of other hitters, then we'll come back to your pitch in a second. So I'm putting Jonathan VR in there again. He was in there last week. We haven't got him over that 20% threshold. Last week, he's done 4 runs, 1 home run, 2 stolen bases he's really playing well. He's playing every day at the moment. I think if he keeps that up, he'll kind of keep rotating around all the different places with the Mets. Numerous injuries. Jeff McNeil's out. Michael Conforto's out. There is loads of room for Villar to play in that lineup. It's not a great place, but he is stealing bases. And the other one I wanted to mention was Yandy Diaz, slightly sort of... I don't know, unfashionable player, but he's Tampa Bay, eligible first base, third base. And the key really here is he is now playing every day at first base for Tampa. So they've traded Tsutsugo to the Dodgers. I think Yandy's got a really clear line to everyday playing time. He's doing well in average and OBP, but actually I think the power will come. And at the moment, rostered in less than 10% of leagues. I think he could be surprisingly solid all season long.
I wish we'd had this conversation before, Jimbo, because I was looking at him only last night and I didn't go with him. I went with somebody else. So that was clearly a mistake. OK, what about the pitching? Have you got a pitcher for us, Ben, by any chance?
I do. It's John Gant of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I picked him up and he's had two starts for me since. And he's given up one earned run, got 9 Ks in his last two starts. His next start is tomorrow night, Wednesday, against Pirates, who aren't the best of teams. He's got currently got a 1.83 ERA, 29 Ks, and a whip of 1.63. Someone that I'd never heard of at the start of the year, but he's getting me some fantasy points.
Ben, we must have a psychic link, mate, because I was looking at pickups for tomorrow night, and that was the exact man I was focusing on because everyone else was rubbish. But I was looking, thinking, yeah, I could, especially since he's up against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, anyone against the Pirates. And I'm going to follow that, actually, with the man we touched on earlier, Drew Smyly, who started off being really popular. He's on Atlanta. He's going to get loads of wins. Drew Smyly is now down to being rostered in just 9%.
Unbelievable.
Of leagues, which seems astonishing. He didn't start strong, but the last two games, he's won his last two games, he's pitched 12 innings and just one earned run over those 12 innings. And he, again, is at home to Pittsburgh later this week. So, I mean, Drew Smyly looks there for the taking. Another name I quite like is Griffin Canning. He's got some slightly tougher matchups, but again, he has a good pedigree and he's been quite strong recently. And I always like to throw a reliever in, saves on the wire. It's there was a Michael Fulmer of Detroit. Another save for Detroit this week. That's three in the past fortnight. Looks like he is now Detroit's main closer, rostered in just 10% of leagues. ERA of 3, whip of 1.1. What is not to like?
Well, I'll tell you what's not to like, because you mentioned the Arizona closer last week, who I, as a result of what you said, he's picking up saves. You couldn't understand where he was rostered. So I picked him up. And what happened? The very first outing, he got smashed for 3 runs.
He did.
Not James Binholden. Anyway.
I chuckled merrily, but yes.
You saw that I picked him up.
You can't win them all, Johnny. Look, you've had a lot of fun with a lot of things. I still think he should be rostered. So I'm sorry about the weekend.
Well, Jim, all I can say is I'm going to be phoning Ben up and getting his tips on these, rather than what you would. Anyway, Hail Mary, rostered in less than 1% of all leagues. This gets tougher and tougher every week. We do appreciate that you are being asked for the impossible here, Jimbo. Have you got anybody rostered in less than 1% that you want to recommend?
Always, Johnny. So I'm going reliever again. I'll try to come up with a hitter for next week. But last week we talked about Rex Brothers of the Cubs, who'd had 23 Ks in just 13 innings. I'm going one better than this, somebody I really like, who'd been injured at the beginning of the season, coming back, and he's now really hitting form. It's Austin Adams of the San Diego Padres, a fantastic reliever, astonishing ratio. So Brothers was 23 Ks in 13 innings. Adams, at the moment, he has 24 Ks in just 12 innings pitched. So even better. Austin Adams, I think, will start ascending the San Diego hierarchy, and a superb strikeout to innings pitched. Austin Adams.
Fantastic. Well, that's the suitcase, and that is the Hail Mary. Ben, before we let you go, thank you, first of all, for coming on. Absolutely awesome, and giving us your insight to the San Francisco Giants. Just very quickly, how long have you been playing fantasy baseball? Did you get into that immediately when you started watching the game?
No. Thank you for having me as well. I haven't been playing for that long. 4 years now, I think it is. I've been in the same league. It's quite competitive. It's a head-to-head league. Last year was my best year, actually, maybe because it was shortened. I came second. So this year, hoping to go one better. Before that, because obviously there's so many games on, it's hard to focus on them all and know all the players. So I just used to focus mainly on the Giants, and I played a bit of MLB The Show to keep myself up to date with all the players. But I sort of grew out of that and don't have the time to be playing video games anymore, so I now use fantasy baseball, which is 100 times better than video games.
Oh, God, that's a quote for us, isn't it? Fantasy baseball, 100 times better than video games.
So, yeah, on my journey to work every morning, I'm looking at my roster and who's coming out and who's going in.
Fantastic, mate. Well, you're only playing in one league. You need to change that straight away. Well, especially if you don't want to have a relationship with your other half. So, brilliant, Ben. Thank you so much. You're the first person we've had on the show that's had their washing in the background. So anybody that gets a chance to watch this on YouTube, you can see Ben's washing. So don't forget, Ben is part of the legendary podcast that is Splash Hits. Do check it out, particularly if you're into seeing what's happening in the San Francisco Giants area. We love having your company. Do email us, as always, on behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. You can get in touch via Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @BHPpod, but you can, of course, get in touch with us individually. My Twitter handle @JohnnyMGould and Jimbo's @Jam99. So, Jimbo, thank you as always for your company, buddy. That was awesome.
My pleasure.
San Francisco Giants, how good was that?
Yeah, how good are they, sadly? But hopefully the Braves are coming slowly but steadily, second half of the season. So we'll see.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Jim. Ben, many, many thanks to you too. And thank you all for listening. We look forward to having your company next week on the best seats in the house behind home plate.